And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, especially Boutelier's Point. Nouvelle-Écosse, Nova Scotia, that was featured big time today on Fiona Ritchie's show. I was very pleased. So that goes out to all of you. It is time, it's 2:59, it's time for Arts Live and Local. And support for Arts Live and Local comes in part from Coast Weekend. I was very pleased to see the cover this week went to two very dear friends of Coast Community Radio and the community itself. That'd be Billy Hultz and Uncle Mike. And we'll hear a little of their music later from the Tolovana Arts Colony. Also, if you've got one right in front of you, are the pages numbered? Yes, page 21, you can check that one out because my first guests from the North Coast Chorale and more are going to be telling you all about that. So stay tuned, and whoa, folks, get ready. It's one of those weekends. I think they will never stop in this area. And that's great, because the arts saves lives. Here's some music from The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace by Carl Jenkins, and then do stay tuned. Thanks for being here.
I shall go home.
absolutely stunning music from Carl Jenkins' The Armed Man, A Mass for Peace. And my guests are Dr. Denise Reed, who is the director and conductor of the North Coast Chorale, as well as an esteemed programmer here at Coast Community Radio. She's also an instructor at the college and, professional singer and a lot more, but plays piano. But for our purposes today, she is the conductor and the director of North Coast Chorale. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
And Denise is usually or often on this side of the chair for her own program on Sunday mornings, which is a wonderful, wonderful program. From afar, and it's not very far because I believe you live in Portland, is
that's
that correct?
Right.
Okay. Our guest, Frederica Hoyer, who is doing something very special. I don't think we've done this before. I'm going to let her tell you about her actual work, but she is a professional photographer, I think specializes in photomontage.
That's right.
And we have been fortunate enough to see some of her work because the prints are at the Performing Arts Center where the concert will be performed. And you also, when you get there, will be able to see them and hear from Frederica. But the most exciting part for a lot of us is that these will be projected on a large screen behind the musicians and the singers. And we'll talk about the combination there. So welcome, Frederica.
Thank you, Carol.
And you said you haven't been on radio before?
No.
Well, this may sound strange to you, but you realize that makes you a radio virgin. And so congratulations, because this is, you know, KMUN is your...
As long as I don't have a little child in my arms.
And when you leave, huh?
Yeah, really. The child of art, the creative opportunity. And my third guest is Bob Latore from Manzanita, who is actually doing double duty here today. But he is playing, or he is playing with the orchestra that has been created for this concert. So welcome, Bob.
Well, thank you, Carol.
And Bob shows up on a regular basis because he does so many things in the community. The concert, right off the bat, is happening this weekend. The concerts, Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin. You can get tickets at the door, or you can, if you happen to know someone in the chorale, they may have tickets as well. I would say come early so you can make sure there's not, we expect there to be a lot of folks there. So come, get your seats, and then you'll have time to look at the art. Sunday, the concert is at 2 p.m., and there's yet another special part, and that is that Frederica is going to spend something like an hour with us talking about the process, the art, a question and answer?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So the idea is on Saturday night, the concert is at 7, and then after the concert, you'll be able to visit with her. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, come at 1 o'clock and spend an hour perusing the art and talking and listening, and then come into the concert. So those are the logistics. Now, this piece. There are two pieces for this concert, and I'm going to ask Denise first to tell us about the whole concert, the conception. Where did you come up with these pieces? Why, etc.
Well, both of the pieces I knew. The first one we're going to do, "The Hour Has Come" by Cyril Irving Glick, was one that I had conducted with a community group in Canada quite a few years ago in the
90s. Oh, he's Canadian, isn't he?
He's Canadian, right.
Yes, right.
And he does quite a bit. Actually, one of my community choir members up there introduced me to his music, and it's just beautiful music. Mm-hmm. And the words are really beautiful. What he's trying to get across is the hour has come for us to let's get it together now. Yeah. Things are, you know, messing up around here. Yeah. Let's get rid of this craziness.
How long ago did you do that?
I did that in 93 with the group up in Canada.
Okay, well, the hour came and went. It's still
it
here.
Right.
We still need this.
That's right.
So it's
definitely
a beautiful piece.
Yes, it is.
And what's the accompaniment for that?
Well, the organ, the SD organ at the PAC will accompany that. As that, when I did it the first time, we had an organ accompaniment. Different organ, but it still helped.
No.
Okay.
Oh.
It's actually an orchestra accompaniment.
Oh, okay.
That he wrote it for, you know, and then piano, but the organ does so much more for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And who's playing the organ?
And that's Dr. Vincent Centeno. From Eugene,
okay,
who has been our accompanist for several of our rehearsals and will be with us also with the armed man on the piano.
Okay, on the piano. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have an intermission. And then
it's a very short intermission.
Very
and
short.
I'll talk a little bit about this. And this conception of the armed man with the collaboration that we have done, I guess it took a psychologist and a psychiatrist understand, well, Denise, what do you really want? What is this? What do you want? I mean, we've been working on how to put this together, this visual part, since January. We worked with some people at the college, and, oh, that isn't working. There was a video at its performance at the beginning. There was a video that we could have purchased, but very pricey. And also a very, I would say, visually...
upsetting.
Yeah, it would be. You know, it's very clear, and it would be upsetting, the video. So we opted for this concept that we wanted it to be artistic, but also to convey the emotions of possibly people involved in this, and also to help with expressing the emotions that the audience will feel after being a part of this. And so that's, we wanted to be a total thing. We've done, tried to do some visual stuff before, but I like for our pieces to be a total thing for the audience, for them to see and to hear and to feel what's going on.
Yeah.
It comes a lot.
It's very exciting also for the people who are taking part in it to have this happening as a gestalt there. Well, so where did you find Frederica?
Well, it was, like I said, it took a psychologist and a psychiatrist. We have a psychiatrist in our choir.
Oh.
And she's the one who kept asking me, okay, Denise, do you want me to work with the guy up at the library to see about what visions we're going to have? Yes, yes. Okay. And she did that. And then she knows... her husband has worked with Michael
at
the Lightbox. And so that's where we found Frederica.
I see.
Through him. And so he says,
and he's
I have
psychologist,
somebody.
And he's a psychologist, is that it?
No, no.
Actually, I'm the psychologist.
She's a psychologist. Right.
So this is really a very complete show. We've got all aspects.
Right. So that's how
fantastic.
We put it together. And when he showed me some stuff of hers, I says, yeah, that expresses what I want to express.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. So, yes. Well, I would agree. I'm absolutely delighted. Were you surprised when someone contacted you about this?
Yes, I was. I mean, I've shown in Astoria before, and I know it's a very vibrant art scene, you know, and obviously the music from here is known, even in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But when Michael called, you know, it felt like sort of a surprise because it's rare that people really understand what I'm doing. Because for most people, my montages are often too dark or too complex. You know, they sort of say, you know, this is interesting work, but it's not something that would cheer me up enough to hang it on the wall. But obviously for something that deals with the topic of war and the topic of destruction and the topic of, you know, mourning and grief and post-traumatic stress, you know, all of which will come up in this piece of music, I think they figured my work would be exactly right. And Michael knew that I can do work, you know, when I have a theme, when I have a topic, I can do work in 2 or 3 months.
So did you create these pieces?
I created 13 pieces, one for each movement, and
oh
basically since they called me. Yes.
Wow.
Wow. And as I happen to know, he printed the very last one yesterday.
Well, and that's why I mentioned to you folks that page 21 in the Coast Weekend, you can see one of Frederica's pieces, Benedictus, which is one of the movements from the North Coast Chorale's concert. So a lot of people don't know what photomontage is. Yep. Why don't you give us an understanding? And then also, how did you, have you been a photographer all your life?
No. Okay. I have not been a photographer. I mean, I started with my first camera in 2005 or 2006,
wow.
Something like that.
Recent.
And basically was very interested really in creating something that's more like painting and less like straight up photography. And little did I know, I was placing myself right in between the painters who scoff at reproducible art and the photographers right. who say anything altered, you know, outside the light room or the dark
right,
room
right.
is not real art. But
then,
I basically,
then you know you're doing something right if both sides are going like
well. But basically what photomontage is, you take photographs that, you know, obviously I all take myself, and you put it into computer programs. I'm using, you know, basically a Creative Suite by Adobe, which is a Photoshop type, you know,
process
mm-hmm. where on the computer I manipulate, put things together, take things apart, paint over them on the computer, and then eventually someone like Michael, you know, is printing the computerized digital images onto you know, paper. And we very often use paper that's not photo paper, but something that is more like watercolor paper or, you know, etching paper.
Gives
something
it another dimension.
That has the texture.
So
yes.
Is this paint or is this another? What's going on in this photo here?
Okay, Carol is referring to a photograph that has two people kneeling in front of something that looks like an angel. And basically, for all of the images that you will be seeing for this piece, The Armed Man, I used photographs I took either at war memorials or cemeteries or Holocaust memorials or any other kind of environment, you know, that has to do with the issues of war.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to Europe once a year because part of my family still lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where I've done most. But in that particular one, some of the scenery actually is from Miami. There's a very strange Holocaust memorial in the center of Miami Beach. And the mirrored, you know, sort of the lattice type structure that you see in that photograph is from that memorial.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot more going on here. There's a lot more put together because this is obviously statuary.
Yes.
And then, okay, was it possible to do photomontage before the computer?
Well, I mean, certainly collage work has been done,
yes.
you know, for most of humanity's art making.
Right, right.
And one of my absolute favorite artists of all times was a German guy named Max Ernst. And he did enormously interesting collage work. And that is actually where I started the idea, except that I have two left hands and couldn't be, you know, dealing with the scissors or glue. So I went.
So you waited until the computers
came.
Right. And you mentioned Europe. You were born in Germany, is
yes.
that right?
Uh-huh.
But you've been in this country since.
I came when I was 30 years old, so in 81.
Okay.
I came in 81. I came to New York. I got my degree in experimental psychology in New York. And then we moved to Portland in 86 because we got jobs there.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught at Lewis and Clark.
Okay. You're putting that in the past tense, is that?
Yes. I stopped doing it and happily retired and now do
now
photography.
You're making art.
That's right.
Wonderful. And I did have, there was a quote here. Let me see if I can, something that you, that Hoyer creates visual images inspired by written words. I'm thrilled to create montages that serve peace. War and its consequences certainly have been a red thread throughout my work. We're not aware of what we're doing. We look away too often. We're numb from fun movies. We're numb from TV. I believe art serves as a mirror to society. It can act as our conscience. And Denise, is that what you were feeling in terms of having that as an aspect? Because the music certainly creates that feeling.
Right. And at the program, I'll speak a little bit about art and what art is and what entertainment is. As a choir, then our goal is to entertain. But that entertainment, as it is with art, has to be something that puts things in the listener's mind that are maybe controversial, that they can kind of go over in their mind about, well, is this really happening? And that's what true art and entertainment really should do. Is just not just, you know, we're not just dancing a jig or doing this
Although
beautiful
I love
music.
Dancing jigs, yes. Let's not.
Right. And this music is just beautiful.
It's stunning.
You know.
Yeah.
But it also has something that we'd like to connect the community
right.
with that has happened to maybe let them look again at these things that have happened. And maybe just one person even, we can change some of the what's
yeah,
going
and,
on.
And I would say that apropos of what you were saying, Frederica, with some of the words and the music itself, that it's also very uplifting.
Yes, oh, definitely.
It's not, mm-hmm. You're going to walk away from
yes,
there
feeling good.
Feeling really good mm-hmm. because it's just gorgeous stuff. So, Bob, let me ask you, how did you get involved? Because this is not one group.
No, these were gathered together.
Did you put the word out or did you?
Yes, yeah. We've been looking
specific.
For instrumentalists, you know, ever since. The North Coast Chorale received a grant from the Clatsop Cultural Trust.
And, right.
Connection, I believe that's the name of the Clatsop.
Clatsop County Cultural Coalition,
there
which
have.
Gets money from the Oregon Cultural
right,
Trust.
Right,
right.
And
right.
so we got that, and we got that, received that grant, and we says, oh, we can have instruments with this.
Right.
And so that's what we wrote the grant for.
Okay.
For instruments.
Okay. So, Bob, how did you, play with the symphonic band, is it? Or?
Yes, I'm in the North Coast Symphonic Band. Janet Bowler is the member of that band who kind of is a personnel wrangler for us. And she's very involved musically up here, too. So she mm-hmm. asked several musicians from that group to be in it, including me. So.
Okay, because Janet is also playing flute, mm-hmm. and you are trumpet.
Yeah, I play lead trumpet. And
okay.
It's for a piece like this, it's a very substantial little orchestra. I mean, we have all the parts, maybe slightly reduced from the full orchestra, but I really respect the bravery of the composer to put together a chorale and a full orchestra like that. And as we were practicing, I was thinking, how big is this choir that we're going to be playing with? I'm going to have 150 voices against us.
Well, if we had the real size that the composer wanted, yeah. mm-hmm. we would have had to have 100 voices. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But so that's why you'll have to play a little bit, not as full voice because we're not as many. But Tuesday night was very exciting for the chorale because mm-hmm. it was the first time we heard the orchestra. Yeah. I have to admit, I literally jumped out of my seat at one of the drum mm-hmm. pieces. I didn't know. I've listened to it, but it's different when you're sitting right there. And
it sure is.
Yeah. So what, did you say, well, I'll take a look at the music first, and if I like it, I'll join? Or
nope.
Are you just game for...
I'm game for anything.
Okay.
And it's been a really special experience to be involved with this, because not only the music is very challenging and worthwhile, but because of the message also. And just to be accepted into the kind of the local cadre of musicians up here, and there's a lot of talent up here,
mm-hmm.
but to be asked to do something like this is very special. And mm-hmm. and I know that I've been playing the trumpet for umpteen years, but it took me a few decades to really get the feeling that I was actually projecting emotion out of the bell of my horn as I was playing, on top of just trying to play the right notes and make
right.
music. So for
also,
something like this, really gives me an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And become part of the message.
Good point, because this goes beyond playing what's written. This is a very, very rich and mm-hmm. meaningful mm-hmm. piece.
Right.
Wonderful. That's great that you're mm-hmm. able to join. How many people did come from Tri-Villages?
Let's see. Not very many. Let me see. From down in our area,
is it mostly Astoria folks?
Yeah, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it is, yeah, yeah.
And a couple of Portland people. A
couple of Portland, mm-hmm. too. And Denise, you've worked with the orchestra separately from the chorale.
Yes,
mm-hmm. right?
We've had like eight rehearsals wow. separate from the chorales.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's been like two directors all
yeah.
this time.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a...
That's why we pay her the big bucks. Oh, wait a minute. Which big bucks would that be? Hold on.
But I must say, I really respect Denise's commitment yeah. and time and
yeah.
talent to manage both groups and then yeah. bring it all together as one. Oh, my gosh. I'm happy to play my horn.
Well, how did you feel about Tuesday night when everybody came together?
Yes,
incredible.
You know, yes, it was incredible, you know, and of course, I'm always going to have there things that, you know, I discuss, oh, we can tweak this a little.
Right,
and
sure.
So, yes, I think it was a fantastic thing. I think everybody felt the emotion of each other, the instruments mm-hmm. and the voices felt that also, and that always makes for a better performance if you are right in there mm-hmm. with everyone together. It's an ensemble.
Yeah.
An ensemble work is very, it's a community once you become that ensemble. And I think this yeah. piece, because of the subject matter, pulls people in to be an ensemble, to be a community.
Yeah.
And tell, so that they know that this is what we're going to express to the audience. This mm-hmm. is what we want them to know.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And Frederica, you haven't heard us all together, have you?
No, but I have listened to the piece for each of the montages.
Right.
I have listened.
You probably know the music better than anyone other than Denise, but yeah, yeah. So now you also do other work, obviously. Do you always do photomontage? Do you?
Well, I have a blog, actually, where I show one photograph a day. Usually it's a photograph.
Oh my,
sometimes
a day.
It's it's a montage, but mostly it's a photograph. And then I write a little bit about it and relate it to other, you know, serious art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
are you willing to give out your
sure.
Connection?
Happily.
Please.
Sign on, folks.
Tell us.
So it's www.hoyer, H-E-U-E-R, mm-hmm. montage.com.
Okay, that's easy enough.
That's very easy.
Except you have to know how to spell Hoyer. Mm-hmm. Montage.com. So mm-hmm. H-E-U-E-R,
yeah.
HoyerMontage.com. That will be very interesting now that we've met you and we've experienced this work
yes.
to see.
And
also.
I actually, last week, the blog was devoted to seven movements of
oh, wow.
this piece. So mm-hmm. if you go back in the archives, you can actually see
Wonderful.
Which ones I you know, chose and how I related it to war experiences in Europe or, you know,
thank
post-traumatic
you.
Stress
yes.
issues.
So Carol, make sure that the choir gets that.
Absolutely,
you know, so they
yeah.
can, because I know yeah. a lot of them in there will want to.
Definitely. And so from what you, just that last sentence you made, I'm realizing how powerfully your academic and professional life has affected or influenced your art.
Yes.
And
yes,
is
it
that,
actually
yeah.
has. I mean, for one thing, what has influenced really, you know, was growing up in Germany directly after the war. I mean, 7 years after the end of war, you still had the hunger, you still had ruins, you still had, you know, a lot of people without limbs at the time. So a childhood was significantly affected by, you know, being
Did you really understand what that was about?
Well, my father was 19 when he lost both legs in the war.
That's
so
close
growing up
to home.
In a family, it's very close to home, you know. I think I understood it better, you know, later on as an adult. And in fact, my research area in cognitive psychology was memory for traumatic events. So that can be anything from, you know, war memories to eyewitness memory, you know, anything that is emotionally wrenching. So, yes.
And that was before you took up photography.
Yes, that was before. And
isn't that interesting?
You know, sort of went into it. In fact, one of the very first series that I did and that I showed at the Arts Center in Multnomah Village in, you know, in Portland was a series where I had made montages for poems that German and Austrian Jewish women writers had written, some of whom survived the Holocaust and others, you know, who didn't. And so it was a series of about 20 montages that were all about, you know, one for each poem. And that's why I'm, you know, when you talk to me about translating from the word into an image, that's really how I feel I'm doing it. Now, in this case, it was translating from, you know, the text or the feeling of the music. But we should mention, you know, that the text for The Armed Men comes from very many different sources.
Right.
There are, you know, biblical sources because it's modeled after a classic, you know,
Psalms
French mass.
As well,
There are Christian, Jewish, you know, Muslim sources.
Hindu sources.
Yep. There are British poets, you know. They're very interesting mix. And and I think the fact that Jenkins tried to be inclusive is very, very obvious because, you know, right at the start you have this, you know, Abrahamic religions basically laid out.
Right.
So I felt I was on familiar turf because
I
had done this before.
This is like such an obvious match for you to be working with, right?
Right. I mean, it's right.
And I think Michael at Lightbox, you know, who, by the way, does wonderful work in supporting his artists and and really and deserves all the support we can
and
give
And the
him.
Lightbox is right on Marine Drive, right here in Astoria between 10th and 11th, and always has wonderful and interesting shows. I was just checking out the new show.
Yeah, but he is a good matchmaker.
Yeah.
You know, he knows.
Well,
this
knows what somebody, or partly what somebody wants.
Yeah.
I just want to say something about Carl Jenkins. There's an interview, and I believe it's on YouTube somewhere, where they are saying that, well, with this piece, it seems like you are really being spiritual. You know, how did you go about the composition? He says, well, most of the time I knew what was I was doing there, but there were times, the reason why you may feel this is spiritual, there are times when I looked, and there was music there, and I didn't know how it got there.
Wow, that's
you know,
beautiful.
But it was in my handwriting, but so, and he's that's what you know, the spiritual connection.
Yeah. It's a magnificent piece in so many ways. Yeah. So I feel very honored to have been able to delve into it, and I'm thrilled. This is happening this weekend, folks. We've been having this little private conversation here. However, it's all for you to come and see the concerts Saturday evening, 7 o'clock, at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, 16th and Franklin, and which, by the way, is an old church. And the Sunday performance begins at 2, but come early so that you'll be able to visit with Frederica and see the artwork and on the walls as well as what's being projected. So thank you so much for being here. This was fantastic.
Thank you,
Frederica Hoyer, Dr. Denise Reed, and Bob Latore, all involved in this concert tomorrow night. And yes, me too. Okay. And this is Coast Community Radio. And I have something I want to play for you right now. And that's from Billy Holtz. Because that same Coast Weekend on the cover is Billy Holtz and Uncle Mike. And tonight, from 6 to 9, they are having a big to-do for the Tolovana Arts Colony. And it's at the it's in Tolovana Hall, which is 3779 South Hemlock in Cannon Beach. And it's a party honoring the founders and inviting everybody to make sure this wonderful organization keeps going. There'll be music and there'll be food and there'll be lots of fun, folks. Here's some, I'm going to tell you what this is. In Billy's words, he wrote, "I love Michael Hurley's songs. I love Michael Hurley's art. But most of all, I love Michael Hurley's attitude. This is a song I wrote shortly after I first met him on the Rounders bus in California back in the 70s. He was staying in Portland for a while, and this is one of my favorite songs from that stay. It's called Portland Water, and in it he rhymes the word pumas, no easy feat. Michael's songs are played by a bunch of musicians in the Northwest and the Northeast and Europe. He's a traveler. But I'm proud to say that Michael Hurley lives right here in Clatsop County. Let's have a listen. And Billy Holtz, Michael Burgess, presente.
Sure is right. What you trying to do? You got the signal. And you are. They say that you're trending here in the state of
So that's tonight, folks, at the Tolovana Arts Colony in Cannon Beach. Check it out and see how you can help to keep that wonderful organization alive. They have all kinds of stuff going on there, all kinds of classes. It started because Billy and Mike used to come in. It started because there were so many artists in Cannon Beach, and yet, what's for them? You know, where was the art going on? There were galleries, but there were no... So they said, let's get some classes together. And by golly, all sorts of people started pouring out of the woodworks. And that was a good thing. And speaking of local artists pouring out of the woodworks, we have a crew here. Well, one of them you've already met. Bob's wearing his other hat now. A little different... story, Bob Latoury. But Sedona is here from the Sedona Fire Band. I don't know. Was that the name you were given at birth?
No, it was something.
Because it's such a beautiful name.
It was something that I was always connected to with that name. And actually, when I was in college, people called me that name. So it just clicked.
It looks like you too. That's the thing. Yeah, it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. You want to give your full name?
Yeah. It's Sedona Torres.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have Enya sitting with you. And mm-hmm. Hi, Enya.
Hi.
I can just see your eyeballs, right? Oh, there you are. Yeah, over the top of the. And what is your full name?
Enya Marie Torres Ling. Or annuling.
It keeps getting bigger.
It does. Though, well, so. You know, the Hispanics generally do put a lot of different million names in the middle, yeah.
You get to choose then.
That's
what
right.
A good time.
Yeah.
That's great. Yep. And my fourth guest in the room, I'm going to try not to cry when I introduce Chuck McLaughlin because he's one of my favorite people on the planet. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Carol.
Chuck was one of the original programmers here at Coast Community Radio, and he has done so many things in this community here and where he lives in the Tri-Villages. Is that the proper name, Tri-Village? Do you call
sure.
it that, too? Manzanita, Nehalem, Wheeler.
Yeah, they kind of say Manzahuelum sometimes.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'd ruin that, I'm sure. So, including playing percussion and Barbara McLaughlin also plays in this band. Who else plays in your band?
It would be Renee Delight Latoury, which is Bob's wife. Yeah, she plays the five-string electric cello.
Wait a minute, five-string electric cello. How many strings do most cellos have?
Four.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, it started out, we did have a bass player, Eric Lindahl, which he has now passed. He was our bass player, and when he passed, and Renee was kind of stepping up to the plate to play her cello, much like a upright bass, and she was filling in for that. And so when she decided to invest in an electric cello to be heard a little bit better,
yes,
obviously with
yes.
the other electric instruments, she made that choice.
I never heard... So what does the fifth string do? Do you know?
you can answer.
They add one more string on the bass end, so it has an extra F string on the low end, so it's got a big heavy string. So
okay.
So it really gets down into the bass range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And are you playing trumpet in this band too?
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Cornet, actually, to be more specific, because cornet has a little bit of a softer sound for folk.
Yes.
No, that's a good thing, yeah. And. And Sedona, what are you playing?
I am the lead vocalist and play flute. And with this next upcoming concert that we're having on June 5th, Bob has pushed me into playing some of the percussion.
Oh, my goodness.
We push each other.
Yeah, we all do. And that's kind of like, I would like to almost call us like a family band, because we've developed a relationship to have that feel.
You feel like a family band I've seen you, because you all have this great... you just pass things back and forth, and you have all this inside information. And, of course, in your community, it's not so inside, because everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Anya, how long have you been playing with this or singing with the band?
About maybe...
It was fall of last year.
Fall of last year, so almost a year.
Okay, and what are you doing?
I do, like, percussion, such as... the shaker, a little bit of the drums, claves,
and the güiro. Oh, I love the güiro.
Yeah, I know.
What's the shape of your güiro? Does it look like a fish, or is I've got one of those.
I know which one you're talking about. It's a metal one, isn't
it?
It's a metal one. Oh, okay. Okay. And Chuck, what are you doing with the Sedona Fire Band?
Well, sometimes I wonder what I'm doing.
We all do different things.
Yes.
I mainly play the cajon,
which
is originally a Peruvian instrument which has spread around the world. It's a little box. Looks like a speaker box with a hole in the back.
But you get to sit on it.
You can sit on it. I can't, because I'm too short. So I tip it back and hit the front plate, and it creates various sounds, sort of simulating a trap drum, you know. And then I also play the bongos.
Mm-hmm.
And then I play a handsonic, which is a newer instrument for me. In fact, I'm sort of a baby on the handsonic.
I don't know what it is.
It's an electronic instrument on which you can simulate various instruments.
Is it with mouth or with hand?
No, it's comprised of mainly pads that you strike with your fingers.
Oh.
And it causes the sound to come out through a built-in speaker system or through your band speaker system.
Can you switch the sound, like with an organ, you know, make it sound like flutes or
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
And primarily what we're using it for now is to simulate the tabla. And that adds
Indian
a
tabla.
Totally different flavor to things. And in fact, one of the, we're going to be playing a couple of songs that will be utilizing the tabla sound, one of which will be my son Carl's song, Eastern Sky. We have the didgeridoo. Michael will be playing the didgeridoo. And we'll have Carl playing the lead guitar, and then I'll be playing the handsonic with the tabla sound.
We started by saying it's kind of like a family band, and this is definitely a family concert. And as Chuck just mentioned, your son Carl is coming in. Where does Carl live?
Carl lives in Hillsboro. He's been a long-time rock and roll guitarist, and he's very, very good. I think.
I've played his music, because you gave me one of his CDs. I played it on the air.
He's just a marvelous player and very, very open to playing with us. And we had a rehearsal with him a couple of times. And I'm telling you, some of his songs that he's going to be singing, it'll be two of them, he swings.
So
people that are interested in hearing some good old hard time hard rock and roll guitar are going to love what they're going to hear.
So have you played in public with Carl before?
No, I haven't. So this is sort of a little check off my bucket list. Always wanted to do that. I bought Carl his first guitar, I think, when he was 7, possibly 9 years old.
And how old is he now?
And he is, oh, my gosh. He's 62, I think.
Oh, my. Oh, wow.
So on the cusp of getting Medicare and that type of thing.
Wow. Amazing.
But he's still wailing, so if you want to hear some good guitar, come listen to that guy play.
That's great. And so all of you are going to be backing him? Is that the playing with him?
Yeah, on those two songs. And then he'll be singing with one of our newer songs that are going to be on our upcoming album or our CD. But it's not finished being recorded yet. We're hoping it'll be maybe the end of the fall, Into the River. But so this concert is going to be pretty interesting, just because some of the people, our fans, don't really know how Michael and I started out with just Sedona Fire, and it just being a duo where it just was more about harmonics and some Sanskrit music. That was kind of the history of it. It was about vocal harmonics, and then we're growing it, you know, the band grew. And so
it sure did.
So when you come to the concert, you'll be able to really see how our band has evolved. We're purposely putting it in that style.
Wow.
And to bring some of the world music back. Thus is probably why we had Chuck try the Hansonic, in some ways.
Yeah.
So we can do that.
So is all the music original, yours and then Carl's as well? Some covers?
We will play a few covers too, some ones that maybe people haven't heard just yet, you know. But because we have a nice combination of Carl playing along along with Enya's dad, John Ling. Mm-hmm. He plays guitar, and he's going to be playing a cover song with us, too. So.
Oh, wow. And then Barbara's going to be playing, too, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Anybody else?
No, that's pretty
How many is this? Because I've lost track.
Yeah, I know. Well, there are 7 members.
Okay.
So, but then when we add Carl and John, we're getting up to 9.
Yeah. Well, fortunate now you're doing this concert. Where?
At the NCRD in Nehalem.
The fabulous
And they've titled it, I believe, the Performing Arts Center, so it's another PAC.
I know. Now there are 3 of them in the neighborhood, the river, and this one here. And NCRD is the North County Recreation District. I finally got that.
Yes, yes.
And it's on 9th Street in Nehalem, and it's a wonderful place, but it's even more wonderful now, and I haven't seen the new theater, but I'm looking forward to it and to way more comfortable seats.
Definitely, yes.
I'd just like to mention that Barbara had something on her bucket list that she wanted to get off, and that was playing the bass guitar.
Yeah.
And she has picked up the bass guitar and I think really doing well on it. So people who know Barbara are going to be thrilled to hear her playing. She's coming along.
I'm impressed, because that's something I've always been. I love that instrument.
Yeah.
Sound-wise, I love the cello, too, but the bass guitar, she's playing electric, though.
Yeah,
electric.
She is.
Okay, you can see what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, whoa.
Well, and if people do want to really hear Barbara with a lot of more of a heavy bass, we are playing this Sunday in Seaside, at the Seaside Brewery. It won't be the full band. It'll be the 5 of us. It'll be Bob and I and Chuck and Barb, so it's going to be a lot more bass-heavy songs, a little bit more for that scene.
Yes, not a family concert.
No, it's more of just,
not so much. Yeah. So, okay, now, folks, this is happening. I don't think we mentioned this is June 5th, which is coming up pretty quickly, actually.
Yep.
It is at the NCRD in Nehalem. And it's at 2:00 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking? Till about 4:30 or something like that?
Yeah, I would say there'll be a nice intermission. We're also, since it is family inspired, and really primarily what inspired this was obviously Chuck's desire to want to play with his son, took off to kind of give that bigger picture of really thanking all those people that have been in support. So it's not just about DNA family, but it is about the people that feel family. So it's taken it to a whole new level. Obviously, our community is our family too.
Absolutely. So. And what a community we have. It's wonderful. Well, I'm bringing up some of the Sedona Fire Band music right now. I have Pages of the Mind. Is that one of your songs?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So have a listen, folks.
Open up my book.
Well, you have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
Turn the page and see the words that pass me by. To my head, writing down another thought, another
are listening to vocals by Sedona with the Sedona Fire Band. Again, they are going to be playing on June 5th from 2 to 4:30 p.m. at the North County Recreation District, basically known as the NCRD, Performing Arts Center in Nehalem. Family concert. Bring the whole family because there's going to be a lot of families there. And we just learn. Bob, you want to tell us you've got a piece, an original piece, or what?
That's right. I made the decision to take the opportunity to write not one, but two original pieces that we're going to debut at this concert. One is just sort of a jazz piece, and the other one is a Celtic piece.
Oh, wow.
And the Celtic one's going to feature my wife, Renee, and on the cello. And
so would that be instrumental?
The Celtic piece is all instrumental, yeah.
And the jazz?
The jazz piece is I just wrote some standard jazz lyrics, kind of like I took inspiration from a couple of songs we do. Comes Love is one of them. But
who's singing?
Sedona's singing.
Oh, okay, because I'm thinking you're on the trumpet. You ain't singing.
No.
I know.
Well, that would be. I know he has a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one.
Well, congratulations. How exciting. Yeah. Isn't it lovely to have the opportunity to have this fabulous band that you can then create or bring your dream, your son in on? It's wonderful. And it's always wonderful to have our local fantastic bands come in. Nice to have Bob, who's wearing two hats this show, and to have Enya. Is this your first time on this show?
Yes.
I think so. Well, we'll have you coming back for quite a while, and your mom already comes back. And for me personally, it's a very always and too rare special joy to have Chuck McLaughlin here. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
And Barbara, shout out to you next time. So. Okay. Thanks for coming in. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Keep that music playing.